Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
John Heyman, insider for Odyssey Sports, New York Post columnist and MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
Co-host of the Big Time Baseball Podcast.
Crazy free agency.
You're right, it was really a lot of fun, I think, for all the fans. Maybe not as much fun for me and Ken Rosenthal and Joel Sherman and Jeff Passan.
Curb your enthusiasm, enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I like the White Sox. You never know with the Cubs.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Joining the show is Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download that BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We are excited to talk to you because there is a lot of expectation of huge moves and great signings and wonderful things happening in Chicago baseball. What do you think?
Well, you know, you do hear rumors, and the Cubs are certainly involved with the shortstops. I don't hear those great rumors about the White Sox, Mully, but maybe you know something I don't know.
Well, no. I don't know if you've ever heard about a certain closer on the market, but that will get two outfielders and a second baseman, maybe even a catcher for the older closer. What do you think? No?
Oh, sure. I'm sure he's got good value. He's certainly one of the better closers in the game, and you know, they could use Graveman or some. They have. You know, once Crochet comes back as their closer, so I could see it. It's possible. You know, I'm not sure you take a step forward by trading your closer, but it's been done before, so I wouldn't rule it out.
All right, John. So Trey Turner goes to the Phillies. The Cubs meet with Carlos Correa. There's been a report about them being linked to Bogarts, and you predicted they would end up with Swanson. So I wonder, what happens today? How quickly will this turn now that the first domino has fallen?
You know, you never know that. You know, there's a lot of Judge rumors that he might be coming. If he's coming, he's got to have a deal. So that would get some more dominoes going. You know, just because there's one deal doesn't mean they'll go quickly. But, you know, it probably does spur some teams into action. I like the Cubs for Swanson because, you know, he's not going to be a $300 million player like Correa. You know, I give the Cubs credit. If they're going to spend the $300 million, more power to them. I just haven't seen a lot of spending from them in recent years. So, I'm a little skeptical about that. Swanson, I think, is a terrific player. You know, I didn't really hear anything specific. I just felt like he probably fits the way they want to do things a little bit better in terms of the payroll, and also, you know, his fiance does play for the soccer team there, and right. Certainly it doesn't hurt that the GM went to Vanderbilt and is from Georgia, just like Swanson, and, you know, maybe there's a connection there. So I'm just reading tea leaves.
John, when we think about Judge, and, you know, obviously he's at the Tampa game yesterday, and that's near the Yankees facility, so everybody's trying to figure out, was he over there talking to someone? Why is he there? And then you hear that San Francisco is ready to make a huge move, and their backup plan is Correa if he goes back to the Yankees. It just seems like there are so many dominoes that, as David said, one's fallen, but it really hasn't moved the market yet.
Yeah, I mean, we've got two more days here, and being here, I think, does spur some action. And, you know, I would not be shocked if we do see some more, you know, today and tomorrow. Boris has Correa and Bogaerts, and, you know, historically he might take a little longer, but, you know, we were here 3 years ago in San Diego, and he signed at the meetings all three of Strasburg, Rendon, and Cole in order three straight days. So, I wouldn't be shocked if there were deals the next couple days for these big players. I did not hear that Bogaerts or Correa was close as of yesterday afternoon, at least. But things can change in a hurry, especially, you know, now we're down to three shortstops and still 10 teams looking for a shortstop.
So, John, let's look at the catcher market for a moment. It seems as if some reports indicate Sean Murphy of the A's, they're willing to make a deal, and wherever he ends up might start that domino effect with Wilson Contreras, with Vasquez, who the Cubs have looked into. Do you understand it that way? Anything new to report there?
Yeah, I mean, Murphy's certainly out there, and there are a number of teams looking for catcher, and, I'm sure he's the most popular guy. I mean, young guy, relatively inexpensive, terrific defensively, so that's what a lot of teams are looking for, and so Houston is looking for a catcher. St. Louis, there are a lot of teams. Tampa, Minnesota, Cleveland. Most Chicago teams could use a catcher, though I don't know that either one of them is going to go big for a starting catcher, but maybe not one of that ilk. There's some good catchers on the market, too. Vasquez is out there, and then, you know, there are some other guys, more defensive guys like Hedges. So, I think that the Murphy trade, probably needs to go first because he's probably the most coveted of the group.
When Jed Hoyer says that they've got a lot of offers out, obviously they haven't gotten any of those offers taken yet, but does that mean that they haven't satisfied whoever they're offering, or does that mean that everybody's waiting to see if those offers are still financially viable? What does it mean when you say you got a lot of offers out?
Well, they're negotiating just like any other team, you know, and they may have multiple offers out to shortstops, and with the understanding that if somebody takes it, the other one comes off the table. They're looking, they probably like all three guys, so they're probably looking for the deal that they are most comfortable with. They probably have a price point on each of the three, and right now they haven't spurred anybody to action. And obviously in this market, it's going to take a lot. You know, I mean, the pitching market is out of control. To me, the Trey Turner deal was, you know, very logical, predictable, was not above really what I predicted. I think I predicted like 290 for nine or something like that. So it was comparable to that. Pitching market is crazy, though. So, you know, you might – if you sign one of these shortstops, you might be able to convince yourself you got a bargain because, Zach Eflin, he was a reliever last year. He got $40 million. Boy, through 13 innings, has an ERA of about 5. He got $10 million. So, you know, it's better to be in the shortstop market than the pitching market.
Yeah, well, let's face it, too, John. Jacob DeGrom is maybe the most dominant pitcher in baseball when healthy. But that's a big asterisk when healthy. And he got $185 million. That's a crazy contract. I wonder now, after Verlander goes to the Mets and after things settle down a little bit, what about Rodon, Bassett, and also Kode Senga?
Right. I mean, Rodon is the next ace out there. And he's, at this point, based on the year that he did have, he put together a full, excellent season, and he's only 30 years old. So, I mean, he's looking for a long deal, unlike, Verlander's going to be 40 in February, and DeGrom is 34 and has had quite a few health issues. I heard his medicals were great, but he certainly missed a lot of time. People love the velocity. People love the fact he has little mileage on his arm. I mean, to me, Clayton Kershaw has been, an one an all-time great who's answered the bell as much as he can. Obviously, he's had health issues lately and doesn't have that velocity, but it's a little odd to me that he gets, you know, 1/9 of what DeGrom gets when DeGrom has had probably not even half the career that Kershaw's had, and they're the same age.
You know, we were talking about it this morning. The one thing you can say for the Cubs is at least they're not in the East or the West, right? I mean, it seems like their division is still manageable and still one that you can be competitive in. I think we're seeing massive spending from other parts of the country.
Absolutely. I mean, both Central divisions are, you know, much more winnable. I think the AL Central is weaker than the NL Central, but Milwaukee looks like they're taking a step back. Cincinnati's terrible. Pittsburgh's still not good. You know, NL Central is a good spot to be in. But, you know, AL Central, I still can't believe Cleveland won last year. But, you know, that's a bad sign for the division if Cleveland can win it. No offense. I give them credit for being able to do it on a shoestring. But they do not have an imposing roster.
Thanks for bringing that up, John.
Sorry.
So back to the NL Central for a moment. From a Cubs fan perspective, you don't worry about too many of the headlines yet, but seeing the Cardinals in on the shortstop market, according to one report, talking to Wilson Contreras, according to another, what are they up to and what do you expect from them? Because they weren't one of those teams that I expected to see linked to any of these top shortstops.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the 11. They're, you know, near the bottom of that list on the shortstop list, like Baltimore, the Yankees, who are only going to probably be in if Judge goes to San Francisco or elsewhere. St. Louis, I expect a catcher and pitching. But they are in the 11. You know, they're a team that could consider a shortstop. They don't need one, though. So I don't think their incentive is as great as these other teams. You know, they have Edmund, they have Donovan, they have DeYoung. They have a relatively decent middle of the infield. So it wouldn't seem to be a need, but and I thought if they did, it would be Turner would be the guy that they would be interested in. But I would be surprised if they go shortstop. I think it's pitcher and catcher for them.
It doesn't seem, as you mentioned earlier, there are enough shortstops to go around, the number of teams looking for them. And yet, there was a report that the Cubs could sign two of them. I got a hard time buying it, but is it possible they get both Bogarts and Swanson?
Well, they probably batted it around, but, Boris is on record as saying that Bogarts is a shortstop. So, I don't know. It's hard to imagine him changing teams and changing positions, too. Normally when you have a marquee free agent, he's not up for changing positions. That's why I never bought Trey Turner's going to the Mets to play second base. I mean, when he was traded to the Dodgers to play second base, his agent tried to block the trade. You can't block the trade as an agent, but he gave it a shot. You know, shortstops do not like to give up that position. You know, Derek Jeter never gave it up, even though Alex Rodriguez was the better shortstop. I'll be surprised. Then Bogarts actually had a good year defensively, better than Turner. I really don't see him moving it to third base. But, you know, and that would take a lot of money to get him to do it too, which we have to see the Cubs do actually spend this money before I believe it, as you've heard me say many times.
I love your skepticism, John. Let's look at Bogarts for a moment. We know the Cubs, according to reports, involved John Lester. They got David Ross, his 2013 teammate on the Red Sox, involved. They wanted to make sure that he knew how special it was to play at Wrigley Field, which is very comparable to Fenway Park. If, let's say, they end up with Bogarts, he does play shortstop. Number one, how realistic do you think that could be in terms of the price? And secondly, what kind of player are they getting?
Well, he was very good defensively last year after all the criticism, and the defensive metrics ranked him as below average. Very solid, very, very solid arm, doesn't make mistakes. You know, he doesn't have the range of, you know, a Correa or really an elite shortstop, but, you know, he's probably the best hitter of the group, and I include Turner in that. So, and the people who had him like him. You know, Dombrowski was looking at him, although Turner probably fit them better, so I get it. Mike Hazen had him in Boston. He's in Arizona. You saw Bogarts linked to Arizona. you know, people like him on the team. And, you know, I still, even though he probably hates the Boston management, he did stay there for less once. You know, it feels like there's a pull for him to Boston. And they have a big incentive to keep him because right now they look terrible. They finished in last, and they want to convince Devers to stay too. And, you know, I think keeping Bogarts might help in that regard.
What did have we talked about this Mike Clevinger thing? What does that do for you? It's apparently $8 million with $4 million that you pay toward. It's a $12 million deal, but the $4 million is for either side if they opt out. Whatever the Sox are have agreed to pay $4 million if they don't want them for year two.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, like a lot of these deals, it's a lot of money for a guy who had a terrible year last year. You know, it looks like a bargain to me compared to Boyd, though. And, you know, we'll see what Kyle Gibson got. He does have talent. He was traded for a bunch, and that didn't help the White Sox when the Guardians remade their team.
Right.
Trading Clevinger, now he's only worth a one-year deal. So he's certainly trending in the wrong direction. You know, he's the back of the rotation starter at this point, I'd say.
So many times we talk about these free agents going to teams that are familiar because they're big market teams with large budgets. John, I still think the Twins might be lurking, and certainly with Carlos Correa, you can't rule it out because they swooped in last offseason and signed him. And the report was they were met with him again last night and might be in a position to make the best offer to him. They know him. How about the Twins? What are your expectations there, and what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I for Correa, I did predict the Twins. Now, you know, that could change if Judge went back to the Yankees and San Francisco's left with $350 million or so. You know, they look like they want to spend. They're pretty desperate. They had a pretty boring team that finished 500 after winning 107 games the previous year, and they're very, very financially well off. So I could see him waiting it out and getting the bigger deal, but Minnesota is certainly going to make a big offer, and they can afford it. You know, it's a mid-market team, and they loved him. You know, they're talking to Bogarts too, but I think that, you know, their familiarity with Correa makes this a special case, and if they don't get him, they're more likely to, you know, sign an Elvis Andrus or somebody stopgap.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Han repeated yesterday what he's been saying, that he expects the Sox to be more active in the trade market than in free agency, and he said that when the right deal comes along, that's when we're going to move. Will there ever be a right deal that comes along, and what would it look like, John? I mean, I got a hard time thinking of a blockbuster for the White Sox.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the White Sox are going to spend big. You know, they have obviously done it in the past occasionally. Cole Albert Bell just got rejected for the Hall of Fame again. And, you know, occasionally they step out, but it doesn't feel like they are going to do that now. It seems like they're looking to improve the pitching and, you know, get better around the edges. You know, I think the Cubs are the headline right now in Chicago. Sorry to say, Mullins.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, as long as there aren't more Sox players just signing elsewhere for massive deals, that's fine by me.
So, John, love following your work on Twitter and in the New York Post, but I got a kick out of your tweet, complete with the twit pick about Yasiel Puig there with his agent trying to find a new home after playing last season in Korea. Is anybody going to take a flyer on Yasiel Puig?
Can't imagine. He's got that legal issue hanging over his head beyond the fact that he's Yasiel Puig. And we know all the history of him, even without the legal issue. You know, he had taken the plea and he's backed out on the plea. And, you know, maybe he is not guilty, but nobody wanted him before he was embroiled in this legal issue. So I already met with two teams. They didn't say whether they were major league teams or what kind of teams they were, but you know, sometimes people just, you know, they have time to kill and they're being courteous. I don't know. I can't see it. I really can't.
John, we'll let you go. Just on the way out, I think we've all been waiting for some big move to happen that will then kind of redo the market and everything is going to happen at once. Is that accurate, or are we kind of breathlessly hoping for things that might not occur? Like, what is your timetable on this stuff? Is it going slower than you thought? And what does it mean when we think about some of these big name guys? Is it 2-3 days, a week, a month? What is it?
Well, we've already had two big ones here at the meeting, so I think it's pretty good. It's about what I expected. I think it's par for the course, and we're probably going to have at least a couple more, I would say. Judge, rumor was he's going to come here today.
Oh, wow.
And if he's coming here, he's going to be coming to make a deal. He's not coming here to, say hello or meet with somebody again. He's done enough meetings at this point, and it's time for him to make a deal. I mean, is it possible? Is it 13 LA maybe? I don't know, but it seems like there's two teams, and he's been talking to them seriously. And, I'm sure San Francisco's offered more, and he's got to figure out whether a few more dollars is enough to or he's mad at the Yankees, one of the two, is enough reason to leave New York. I think it would be a surprise if he left the Yankees, but maybe it's a New Yorker talking there. I don't know.
Great stuff, John. Great catching up with you. Thanks a ton, man.
Thanks, John.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
See you later.
That is John Heyman. Always fun to talk to John, and we should let you know he joined us on the Signature Bank Score Hotline, Signature Bank making commercial banking personal. And John, of course, an Odyssey MLB insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to make us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download that BetQL app or visit BetQL.com.
Long flight from Tampa
to
San Diego.
Yeah.
And if he's going to make it, Aaron Judge, if he's going to get on that plane and make that flight, he's not going there to talk. He's going there to sign.
And that would seemingly be the case, but did he leave on some night flight, or is he just getting up now? I mean, how long is this
getting up now? That game went on for a while.
That's what I'm saying.
Most normal people were just getting home from that game probably and after a post-game beverage or two. When we were getting up. So I think that he's probably going to be on a flight later. So it's going to be a while. It'll be a long day.
Just stay with me here. What if he is escorted off the flight kind of OBJ style? Will we see a change in the – never mind.
Well, I think he might be a little bit more imposing for somebody to tell that you can't do that, sir, than OBJ might
have
been.
And he also seems like a fairly lovely fella, I think.
He does.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to tell
gentle giant.
That I'm not going to fasten
right.
my seatbelt.
I think you're right.
And I think he's definitely in first class, just given his size, right? And his paycheck.
Might be on a private jet.
He's probably, he could probably get up. He probably doesn't have to get up. They could probably stretcher him into an ambulance and then escort him to a plane and pile him on and he'll wake up there, right?
Right.
Okay. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Mully Ed Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have a texter who wants to know where we keep seeing these secret reports about the Cubs and what they're going to do.
They're not secret reports.
No, they're
John Morosi from the MLB Network, John Heyman from the New York Post, Gordon Whitmire from NBCSportsChicago.com.
The guy from MLB Network?
Mark Fysand.
Mark Fysand.
I've retweeted many of them on the Mully Ed Haw Twitter account.
Of course.
No, we're not making up rumors.
The Trib and the Sun-Times are out there. The Athletic is out there.
Thank you.
You don't have to go very far to
Marquee
have...
Marquee Network's out there.
The Marquee Sports Network is out there all week.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. We just talked to John Heyman, and we both know John and appreciate his hard work. Do you hear skepticism from him when it comes to the Cubs actually spending the money that we all
constantly
perceive them ready to
constantly
spend?
Obviously, yes. Okay. I think he is... A noted skeptic. He's not afraid to lean into that. I think he is in the prove it mode when it comes to observing the Cubs and Tom Ricketts. I think that he's looking at the past previous couple off seasons, post pandemic, perhaps, because this has not been what the Cubs have not behaved like a big market team is expected to behave, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's fair to say. And we go back to some of these reports, they're not mystery reports, people. They're out there. But I think it was John Morosi that referenced the Cubs are back to approaching this to pre-pandemic levels in terms of expectations of spending and being willing to spend. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, that is encouraging.
But I appreciate a good skeptic. I think that that's earned. The cynicism is appropriate because they haven't spent. They haven't.
Yes.
And they have let this kind of devolve into the point where they got rid of everybody, and
they
wanted to bottom out so they could start to climb back. So if you're skeptical about their ability to maybe do that or spend whatever's necessary to put themselves in a better position, I totally get that.
Are you skeptical about it?
I'm more probably hopeful or optimistic that – and maybe it's because I see – we're also – it's more local, but I see – more urgency that to me is obvious and has to be obvious from the Cubs' perspective. I don't think you can have a third straight season of major disappointment. Now, last year, there were some encouraging signs in the second half. We looked at the young pitching developing. You looked at signs along the way. But it wasn't what you want, and it wasn't what it should be for a major market team. So I guess that I'm going into this thinking like, I hope they're thinking, you can fix this with money. You can make it better by spending your way back to into contention. You have to have all the other things in place. A strong infrastructure, a minor league system, the right manager, and all these things, and a little luck. But it starts with being able to dig deep and use your resources and go get Carlos Correa or one of these three shortstops left on the market.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's a kind of bare minimum, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
That's just a good start.
It's a good
frankly.
Start. Yeah,
and I'm not joking. I mean, they need multiple moves. They it's. I get it. You know, once you get the major move made, then you can build around it. But this is more than a one move off season.
I agree with that because that's why I'm encouraged that they're linked to so many different possibilities. And I know that you correctly, I think skeptically said, well, when you have a bunch of offers out, they don't really mean anything. But they have a bunch of offers out, right? So that means that suggests that they have a lot of different offers to different types of players that they need. Pitchers, maybe Bassett, maybe Senga, maybe Cody Bellinger, maybe Christian Vasquez. These are all guys that I could name that make a lot of sense for a Cubs team that has various needs.
And again, I have no problem with them making multiple offers. It's just when you hear they have all these offers out there, that would seemingly indicate that no one's taken their offers yet. That would indicate that whatever the opening of the negotiations are, it wasn't like anyone said, give me the pen.
Right.
Oh, my God. Are you making me that offer? Here. I'm there.
I think, though, you don't really want that either, though, do you?
No, because it's part of the negotiating process. But David, you know, I don't know if you get offended by an offer, or if you think, oh, that's close, let's deal with it. I don't know how this all transpires.
It's an intricate dance.
But it is.
It's very difficult.
Having a lot of offers out there means that you got all sorts of options.
Well, it means you got all sorts of needs.
Well, it also means that you're telling people, hey, we got a lot of offers out there. So if you want to sign one of them, you know, line up. If not, you know,
because this will be rescinded
two.
The minute we get a yes.
Exactly.
It's kind of like recruiting. We talk about the transfer portal and all the college coaches scrambling this week to go find their next quarterback. How many guys have multiple offers out to quarterbacks who may or may not say yes and commit to them?
Implicit in multiple offers is the idea that you need to take it or it will go elsewhere. That this is not, you are not our major priority. We got multiple offers.
Yes.
We've talked to everyone. We're talking to everyone. Oh, how do you feel about our offer? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, no, we'll talk to you soon. We have to talk to someone else who also we have an offer.
Well, that encourages me more than it discourages me because I like the fact that they aren't counting on anything smugly because they're the Cubs, and of course you're going to say yes. So we're going to zero in on Carlos Correa, and we're going to not worry about Dansby Swanson because he's not the offensive run producer that the others are.
No offense, but I think that you're smitten with the idea that John Lester is involved. And, wow, you know, not only has Rossi talked, but so has Lester. And what I'm saying is, if you really want Bogaerts, go buy him.
I'm not smitten with it. I think it's a fun part of the story. I knew you would get caught up on that.
You and Dustin are, over the moon about it. It's like, you know,
it's a nice touch.
Got
to admit.
I got no problem
with
it.
It's a nice touch.
But you know what? Having the recruiting process in full swing, you know what gets a guy recruited?
Yeah, green.
It's a little scratch, my friend.
Not Green Monster.
Yeah, take
the green stuff.
Take the thumb and the forefinger and rub it together.
I get it.
That's all I'm saying.
I think you're saying, and it's correct. I just think that when you are involved with as many different guys as they are, you want to, just like with Kodai Senga, you want to use the fact that Seiya Suzuki has the same agent, and you want him to feel comfortable and know certain things about the experience at Wrigley and being a Cub that maybe you don't know if you're negotiating with the Dodgers or somebody else.
Now, hold on.
Okay.
You're kind of revealing some of our secret information on the Cubs that we've been hoarding.
Have I been hoarding that?
Yeah, we're not revealing that yet. We'll save that for tomorrow.
I get all my secret information from Bruce.
Yeah. Bruce has more secret information than any. Maybe we should talk to Bruce.
Bruce did a nice job last night of processing some information. He did report the Cubs met with all four shortstops on the market, which included Trey Turner before he signed with the Phillies. I don't think he fit with the Cubs as well as he might have fit with the other teams, only because I think he was always going to gravitate toward the East Coast.
Okay.
He was with the Nationals before. I think he's got some family connections in the Philadelphia area, and he certainly lives in Florida in the off season where the Phillies train.
How about John referencing what Brandon Fryer had taught us already, that that apparently Dansby Swanson's girlfriend plays for, fiance, excuse me, Brandon, plays for the Red Stars.
That's a good link.
That's a nice
link. How about the Vandy link? Did you think of that one? Carter Hawkins.
I did not think of that.
And Dansby Swanson, no. Both Vanderbilt men.
They know the handshake.
Along with another
Jay Cutler.
Famous right-hander. Yeah, Jay Cutler, who was at the Bears game. And tomorrow we're going to have to get into that with Dustin because he was triggered at the sight of Cutler at the Packers game.
He was there for his children. Back off, Dustin. You'd do anything for your kids. Why can't Jay? Gosh.
Take him to the Lions game.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Okay, we can get into it today then.
No, we'll tease it.
All right, tomorrow we'll have Dustin's reaction to Cutler. We'll have more secret Cubs news we've been hoarding. What else?
Well, maybe some Sox skepticism because we haven't gotten to them appropriately enough.
I think we've expressed nothing but
Sox. Tomorrow's a day that ends in Y, so we must be skeptical for the White Sox.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think I've moved beyond skepticism into pessimism. Is that okay?
Or just downright.
Just, yeah.
Anger.
No.
Hate.
No, for me, it's not anger or
Let's hate.
Let's hate
watch the White
it's
Sox.
It's just hopelessness and,
despair.
Despair is good.
Some healthy despair. Yeah,
no question. Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing healthier than great despair. All right, we've got, speaking of despair, we've got Dan Bernstein and of course, we don't despair over talking to Lawrence, but we'll talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.